started talking a little bit about sorting and why sorting was a good thing. We're going to get into today more detail about why sorting is a good thing. But the way I think about it, the most important thing to think about sorting is how do we use it to solve other problems. So what is the problem of the day? The problem is today says take as input a sequence of 2n real numbers, even number of numbers. Design an algorithm, and how do I read that says n log n? Well, n log n should always smell like what it takes to sort. So if you see an n log n algorithm, maybe asking for n log n algorithm, it might be a hint. Hey, I want to sort something. Okay, it might be another hint. It might be I want to use a data structure with n things that take log n time. Okay, or conceivably it might mean other things. But sorting is what I smell when I see n log n. Design an algorithm that takes partitions numbers into pairs with the property that the partition minimizes the maximum sum of a pair. So it says that if you're given the numbers 1, 3, 5, and 7, and 9, what assignment of pairs from 1, 4, 3, and 9 will minimize the largest pair? Okay? Let's think about it. One's got to be paired off with somebody, right? There are three things that one could be paired off with. If it's paired off with 3, there is something here that is of size 14. If it's paired off with 5, there is something there that is of size 12. If it's paired off with 9, this is 10, and the other one is 8. Does everybody agree with that? Which one of these minimizes the size of the maximum pair? Okay. Which one of them, yeah. This one. Does everybody agree with that? And it says, how do you find the one that minimizes the maximum pair? Okay? Any questions? Any idea? Question here. What I'm looking for is I'm looking to take a bunch of numbers, okay, it seems, and pair them up. Let's take another example. Let's say 4 and 7 and 10 and, 11 and 100 and to 105, okay? I want to try to pair them up so as to minimize the largest sum of pairs, right? When we pair it up, take the numbers, we put them in pairs, okay? Once we have an assignment of the numbers to pairs, each pair has a value, right? Has two numbers in it, you can add them up, right? So this is 4, and this is 14. Okay? This is one that says 6, and this one says 12. The other one was 10 and 8. I'm asking for the one that minimizes the largest one, which in some senses may be a more balanced way to pair it up. If you say, why might I pick that criteria? It might be to pair it up so that I don't have, that they're relatively balanced. Isn't that kind of what it's asking? Can anyone think of a reason in life why I might want to solve this problem? Okay? Can anyone think of an application in life where you might want to pair things up so as to... Everything has a numerical weight, so you don't, have something too big. Okay? It's good to be able to make a story or something. Why might you want to pair things up? Yes? Okay, so the question is, suppose I am trying to make skill level. Okay, you say 2-on-2 basketball team. Let's think of something more important. Let's think of homework partners for CSC 373. Right? Suppose I was going to make up the partners. Okay, let's see if we can erase this thing. You guys are now, I have people in here of different skills. Some people are 100, they're really good. Some people in algorithms are 2s, are 1s, 7s, 9s. Maybe it's your grade average or something like that. Right? So if I have people make up their own partners, What would happen if I took these two students and had them pair up? Is it fair for these two students to compete against Well, maybe not into basketball, certainly. We know what the outcome would be, right? If this was the height of the basketball player, we certainly know how that would end up, right? So what we would like to do is maybe to find a way to pair people up into two-on-two basketball teams so as to make it fair. Well, what would be a notion of fair? This is actually an interesting question. How would you define what a fair assignment into two-on-two basketball teams would be? One criteria is that that the total talent in the most talented team is minimized. Why is that? The most talented team is the one that would be likely to win, let's say. And the more you can lower the talent of the top team, the fairer it probably is. It seems like that's a reasonable definition of how you might pair it up fairly. Does that make sense? How many people does that make sense to? How many people don't understand the problem, or why not? Okay? Suppose I gave it like this. Let's look at this example. 1, 7, 9, 90, 95, 100. What would be the fairest way to pair up these students? If this is their, let's say, basketball skill, so as to create the most competitive basketball tournament. Okay, does anyone want to propose a pairing off? Higher is better. Okay, yes. You want to say something like this looks interesting, right? Suppose we pair it up like this. What happens? We get 101. We get a 95 and 7. That's 102. 99. That's pretty good basketball teams, it seems to me, right? Does everybody agree with that? Does that seem better than what would have been the other way to do it? We could pair them up like this. Then it would be 8 to 100, you know, it would be the, what is that, Stony Brook against Kentucky or something like that, right? Does everybody see that? Not fair, right? Okay. Is there any other pairings of this you might make that make sense? Okay. So it should be clearing different pairings will be different skill level, will be fair or unfair. And minimizing the maximum fair seems to me to be a reasonable definition of what would be fairest. Any questions about that? How many people are convinced by that? Says, yeah, I see that that's probably a reasonable problem. Okay? Many people are not convinced of that. Okay? One might, by the way, be able to come up with different definitions of fairest. Okay? Yes. What? Well, you go with lots of different ones, okay? Let's say this is the one that I want, okay? Well, we minimize the maximum, okay? It's the minimizing the sum of them, okay? So how do we do it? Okay, you sort of suggested a method, right? Your argument is take the highest ranking person and assign them to the lowest ranking one, okay? Take the second highest ranking to the second lowest ranking, right? And pair them up like that, okay? This to me seems like it should create a reasonably fair pairing, right? On some intuitive level, it's clear to me it can create a reasonably fair pairing. Does everybody agree with that? How much time should this algorithm take? What is the algorithm to pair the numbers up? Someone describe that we just talked about? What would the algorithm be? I give you a set of numbers. I give you a set of basketball players here. What's your skill level? You look like a 67. You? Okay. 70. I think you can take it. Okay. You? Okay. Yes. What would be the algorithm? First, you sort them. That's the magic words. Okay. You take as input their skills and you sort them. How much time does that take? N log N. How do you sort them? With a sort that takes N log N. You don't need more detail than that, right? Now that you've got them, what's the next algorithm to pair them up? How do you pair them up by this method? What's the idea? So it's something like 4i goes from 1 to N. Pair up element I with element 2i. N minus I, something like that, right? Something like I with 2N minus I I with 2n minus I. Does everybody agree with that? That doing this pairing with the for loop, it would take n steps. This is linear time plus the time to sort to do this. Okay? Any questions? Now, there's only one question which is occurring to me. Again, I don't think about these problems until I come in here, because I think it's good to sort of see them fresh. One thing seems to be left. We have an algorithm. We have an analysis that it is n log n. Is there anything that we're missing? Two n numbers, right? We take two n numbers, and we've taken two n numbers. We have an algorithm for producing pairs. Is there anything that is missing? I guarantee that you're getting the minimum sum. Okay? You're minimizing the maximum sum. Okay? Can anyone come up with a reason as to why that might be? Yes. Well, okay. Let's. What is your argument again? Let's take a look at this. Yeah. Okay. You're saying that if 100 is 100 can't be paired with anybody without creating a bigger pair. That's certainly true. But the same argument would be true for 95. 95 could be made smaller, the sum, by pairing it up with 1. So that's, I'm not sure I believe that is a complete argument yet. Okay, you're saying that if you do that, then 100 needs to have a partner, right? Suppose, okay, what's your argument? Let's take a look at this. You're saying the largest element has to be paired with the smallest item. The truth is, the largest element does not have to be paired with the smallest item to guarantee us a sum here that is minimum. Okay? What would be an example of this? Okay? Let me just think about this. Let me see if I can construct an example where, in fact, see if I can do this. What if we have a hundred, let's say, 101 and 2, and let's say, 99 and 98 and 96. Okay? Does it matter if we pair up 100 with 2 and 98 with 1? Okay? The largest thing here is going to be the middle one, right? You're saying what's the globally fairest? Somehow your sense is the globally fairest one is going to involve that, right? But you can't argue to me that any solution that doesn't have it like this is not the optimal one, right? Everybody see that? Okay. Any other ideas now? Okay. So how might I try to argue correctness here? Okay. And my argument, I think that I'm going to try to base it, is a counterexample argument. Okay? Suppose there is a better assignment than this. Okay? So let's try it like this, and let's see if we can make a convincing argument while I sit here. Okay? Here are a bunch of numbers. A, B, C, D, ...... Z. Okay? We use our algorithm. And we say C and what is the other one? What's C pair with? Y, X, right? X. Everybody agree with that? Let's say that in these numbers, it happens when we do the argument, C and X is the biggest pair, right? Everybody agree with that? Okay. Now, suppose this is true. This is what, suppose I say when we run our algorithm, this is what happens. And also, suppose your algorithm was not correct. What's a proof by contradiction? Has anybody ever heard of a proof by contradiction? You assume that the algorithm is wrong, okay, and then argue it sort of can't be wrong, okay, basically. Something bad happens if it's wrong. So let me think about it. Suppose we say that this is the biggest pair in our assignment. And this is the pair that minimizes it over all assignments. Okay? You're going to be, if this algorithm is wrong, there has to have been another assignment, okay, where the sum is going to be less than this. Does everybody agree with that? If this algorithm were wrong, that would mean there'd be a way to take this input and assign it so that there was a way to assign it so the biggest pair wasn't so big, right? So let's say that's true. Where could this counterexample be? Well, X is going to be assigned to somebody, right? Okay? X had better not be assigned to a number. Who can X be assigned? If the biggest pair is going to be smaller than this, who could X be assigned to? X could only be assigned to A or B. Does everybody agree with that? Because if X was assigned to anybody other than A or B, if X was assigned to C or anybody bigger, the biggest pair would be bigger than this. Does everybody agree with that? Now, who can Y be assigned to and make it smaller? Could Y be assigned to C and have the sum be smaller? No, because Y is bigger than X, right? So who could A, who in this assignment, how could we get a smaller number? It could be assigned only to A, you're telling me, right? Is that right? Well, actually, no, it could be assigned to B. If Y was assigned to B, this might be 0, 0, 100, right? So even though this is bigger than X, okay? Likewise, Z paired with C is going to be bigger than X paired with C, right? So the only way we could globally ensure that all sums be less than X plus C is if Z was also assigned to either A or B. Everybody see that? Suppose you have a better example than me. Does everybody see the argument here? I now start to see my argument. I've been talking, but now I see the reason why it'll work. Okay? If my algorithm said X plus C was the biggest, was the biggest pair I got from my algorithm, and you're telling me my algorithm is wrong, and this is an example where I'm wrong, the biggest pairing you're going to find has to be less than, have the biggest part be less than X plus C. Does everybody agree with that? Well, X has to be paired with somebody, right? Who can it be paired with to guarantee the sum of that is going to be less than X plus C? Either A or B, right? Who can we pair up Y with to have any chance that Y plus whoever it's paired up with is less than X plus C? It could have to be only either A or B, right? And who can Z be paired up and certain that the sum of Z, whoever it gets to, is less than X plus C? Only A plus B. So what's the catch? These three guys need to be paired up with someone smaller. There's only two smaller ones to be paired up with, right? You see that? How are you going to pair this guy up with someone from A and B, and this guy up with someone from A and B, and this one up from someone from A plus B, such that each of them gets a different partner? You can't do it, right? You've sort of got, you know, if you think about it, you've got three big guys and two small guys, and you have to find a way for everybody to get married. Can't be done, right? We have a conservation of brides and grooms argument, okay? Argument here, right? Does everybody see that? This is now a counterexample, okay? And therefore, my algorithm had to be correct. I now believe that. Who here followed that argument and believes it? Who doesn't believe it and wants to hear something better, hear it again, or something like that? Okay, any questions about it? So this is one where the algorithm is seemingly obvious, okay? the algorithm is efficient, we all agree with that. The proof of correctness, when you stop thinking about it, may not be as obvious as we first thought. Okay? But I now believe it. Any questions about that? Okay? Any questions? Okay, good. So, but the moral of it, again, is how sorting makes the problem easy. Okay? Once you have n log n sorting, you can solve this problem. Okay? Let's keep going. So, again, we talked a little bit about sorting last time. We talked about how you use it to solve element uniqueness. Let's look at some more applications of how you can solve a problem efficiently because you can sort. Again, I do algorithms. I don't have too many. I have some tricks at my disposal, not as many. One thing I do is I know how to sort. Okay, and that gives me a certain amount of power. Let's say we want to compute the mode. What's the mode of a bunch of numbers? Does anybody remember this, what the mode is in statistics? The mode is not the average, it's average. What kind of average is the mode? The most frequently occurring thing, right? So we take a look at, let's say, people's salaries in here. Okay, how much of, what's your salary of all the people in here? You make, $10 an hour, okay? And you make $5 an hour, and you're unemployed, okay? And you make zero, and you're unemployed. And you make $5 an hour, and you're also unemployed. Okay, what is the mode here in this class? The answer is it is zero, right? Does everybody agree with that? And that it's the number that occurs most frequently in the set of numbers. Okay, any questions about that? That's what the mode is. How can someone compute the mode of a set of numbers? Okay, someone give me an efficient algorithm to compute the mode of a set of numbers. I give you n numbers. Okay, do it. A bucket, again, we're doing sorting. I don't think we're not doing buckets now. What's the first thing to do? Sort, what are we sorting? The numbers, what happens when we sort these numbers? 0, 0, 0, 5, 5, 10. Does everybody agree with that? What is going to happen? Equal numbers become neighbors. Does everybody agree? Now that equal numbers are neighbors, how do I find out what the mode is? Does anyone want to suggest an algorithm once I have it sorted? So I start over here, I say I've got zero. Next element, still zero, oops. Here's where there's a change, right? The difference between this index and this index tells me how many zeros there are, right? There are 4 minus 1, 3 zeros. Keep counting, same as the 5, oops. 2 fives. Go to the end of the list, there is 1 10. Does everybody agree with that? Once it's sorted, how much time does it take to find the mode? Order n. Does everybody agree that we're doing it in one sweep, one linear sweep? Once we're walking through the array, if you think about it, with two different fingers, right? There's a finger on the last one. And we keep walking. Are you the same? You the same? You the same? You, oh, you're different. The difference between the finger positions counts how many there are, right? Or you could say there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, oops, it changed, right? That meant there were 6 zeros. Okay, either way, a linear sweep through the array, once it's sorted, finds the mode. Any questions about that? Questions? Well, what is the time complexity of this thing? Okay, the answer is it is order n log n to sort, plus order n to sweep. If I give you some raw numbers, I say, give me the mode. That would be n log n, right? Well, it depends upon how big the integers are. We have to be a little bit precise here. But anyway, we think of, in here, we think sorting is n log n, right? So the claim would be that if I spend the n log n time to sort it plus the linear time to sweep it, I have the mode, right? And if someone was so kind to give it to me sorted, okay, I could find the mode in linear time, right? Any questions? So sorting is a good thing to do. What other question is interesting? Suppose I wanted to find out how many times someone occurred. So suppose, let's say that I wanted to find out how many people in here earn $0 an hour, okay? How would I do this? How can someone give me an efficient algorithm once it is sorted? Suppose I now gave you the sorted numbers. And let's say some of you not only earn 0 hours, some of you actually do good work and you contribute to charity. So you actually have a negative salary. Okay? Any questions? Okay? How would I find out? Give me an algorithm if I give you N items like this. How would I find out how many people earn $0 an hour? Someone give me an idea how I could do that efficiently. Yes? So one thing that you're saying here is I could use binary search. Binary search is a good thing to do if it's sorted. If I look for zero, okay, I could find zero and then walk this way, right? Say, when do I run out of when does it stop being zero, and then walk this way, right? What's the time complexity of that algorithm? That's what you're basically proposing, right? What is the time complexity of that algorithm? Say log n, is it log n or not? It's actually in the worst case order n, right? What if all of you are unemployed? Okay, all of you earn $0 an hour. Hopefully that's not the case, right? But what would your algorithm do? You find in the middle, ding, I've got a zero, right? And I'd walk all the way to the end and walk all the way to the end. Does everybody agree with that? Can someone give me an algorithm that really would be log n? To count how many people have zeros in here. How many zeros there are in the array. Any ideas? Okay. Sorting and searching are powerful things, and they're not always as simple as it might seem. Okay. How might you do it? The way I would do it is I would look for a number called 0 plus epsilon. What is 0 plus epsilon? It's a number that's bigger than 0. Okay, but by a tiny, tiny bit, right? Once I found 0 plus epsilon, I'd say, here is 0. Is 0 plus epsilon what I'm looking for? No, it's got to be on this side. Here's 5. Here's 0. I finally find the crack between 0 and 5, which is where 0 plus epsilon would be. Does everybody agree with that? That took log n time. Now what would I do? I look for 0 minus epsilon. Where is 0 minus epsilon? The crack between these two. Does everybody agree I could do that using logarithmic time, binary search? Right? Now what is the number of zeros? The position of this, or equivalently subtract 1, it's between the position here, between the two, and the position here. I claim given these two indices, knowing it's between. It's just a question of subtracting those two numbers to tell me how many zeros there are. Does everybody agree with that? How many people see what I'm doing? How many people don't see what I'm doing and want to? Okay? Suppose I did a binary search. You do a binary search and you look for something that isn't there. What do you ultimately learn? Right? If you think about a binary search as originally it's between the first element and the last element, right? Somewhere in there. You keep narrowing it down in some sense until you get, if it's not found, you say it's got to be, the answer should lie between the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th element and the 7th element of the array, right? That's what you're learning if you look for 1. 1 here, where is 1 in the array? Well, it's between the 6th and 7th elements, right? Binary search would tell you that. You look for minus 1. It lies between the 3rd and the 4th elements. So how many 3s are there? Zeros are there? 6 minus 3 or 7 minus 4. Does everybody agree with that? The interesting thing is that this is going to be logarithmic. Okay? Any questions? Yes. That's first of all, hearing trees, if I have an array of elements to sort, If I have a bunch of elements and I want to do these kind of questions, if I have a sorted array, it says here, if I am given a sorted array, okay, I can do this, right? You're saying, what if I'm given a tree? Well, if you're doing given a balanced binary tree, you can play with a fancier way than I want to go into. I claim you could actually do the same thing, but it requires more pre-processing, and, you know, so that's why that's more clever. But arrays are good things. Don't be afraid of using arrays, okay? Yes, question. If the entire array is just zero elements, the correct thing to say is zero is a constant. I'll do everything by brute force, right? Anything I can do on a constant number of elements is going to take constant time. There's no n involved, right? Suppose everybody was zero. Then what would I do if I was looking for zero minus epsilon? I'd eventually say it's before the first element in the array, meaning it's between the zeroth and first element. And I'd look for 0 plus epsilon, which would be between the nth and n plus first element. Does everybody see that? Again, the same basic principle would hold. I'm figuring out where would these numbers be if the array was all uniform. Okay? Assuming I handle the boundary conditions right, it's no different. Okay? Any questions? There's a technique called a sentinel, okay, which I didn't talk about, but what you could have done if that bothers you. Would it make you happier if I add a new value to the array, minus infinity and plus infinity, to my array when I sorted it? Okay? Now your case can't occur. And now it's just the same as anything else. Okay? You see that? Okay? Any other questions? Yes, questions. How do I calculate epsilon? Here what I'm going to say is epsilon. I'm going to do it implicitly. Let's say I am trying to figure out let's say I wanted to figure out who was bigger than. I'm actually not going to actually calculate epsilon. It's an interesting point. What am I actually going to do? Let's say, again, I have minus 5, 0, 0, 1, 3, whatever it is. I'm going to say I want a number. What is the number? I'm searching for a number that is bigger than 0, just bigger than 0, right? Here is 0. Where is the number that is just bigger than 0 by the tiniest amount? It's got to be on this side, right? Suppose I look over here. Where is the number that is bigger than 0 by the tiniest amount? Where is it? It's got to be on the left, right? Where should it go? It's got to be on the left. Now I look here. Where is this number, the number compared to this 0 here, that is bigger than 0 by the tiniest amount? It's got to be to the right, right? I'm now told it's got to be to the right of this and to the left of this. Everybody agree with that? I don't actually need to specify epsilon, right? I'm just trying to find the boundary. Where do the zeros end? And I claim I don't need an epsilon. Do you see that now? Any questions? Okay. Interesting. Binary search is power. Okay. Don't be afraid to use the power. Any questions? Any questions about these things? Actually, I like the fact that we're spending more time on these than some of the analyses of the sorting algorithms. Will look more complicated. Because the bread and butter thing that an algorithm designer has to do is say, when are their numbers sort of, when can I use sorting? Boom, it's a black box, it's n log n. Now what do I do? Okay, any questions? Let's look at the power of sorting some more. What about the median? Okay, we talked about the mode. What is the median element? Okay, how do you define what the median is? Okay, suppose let's say we took a look at your salaries here. What would the median salary be? Yeah? What? The middle element, the guy who has as many people below him as above him, right? Does everybody see that's what the median is? How do you find the median of n elements? I give you n salary. I want you to find the median, okay? How would you find the median? Or sort, that's a good answer, right? Now that you have it sorted, the numbers are sorted, how do you figure out where the median is? Yeah? It's the element in the array element n over 2. Does everybody agree with that? That's who the median has to be. Okay? So the claim is actually I can find the median in what time is it? N log n time to sort plus how much time to act it once I have it sorted? Plus O of 1, right? Does everybody agree with that? Now, it turns out there is an extremely complicated and clever algorithm that will do this in linear time. But I don't deal in complicated and clever. This is simple, right? Does everybody agree with it? And n log n and n is not that big a difference. N squared is, and n log n is a big difference, right? So this is a good algorithm. Okay, any questions here? And note that it could be used to find who's in the top 10%. How do you find out who's in the top 10% of the class? How would you find that out? Yeah? Sort you by grade or however I rank you guys by in class. And then just take these guys. Does everybody agree with that? So selecting out who are the best ones. Who are the worst ones? That's very easy to do once you guys are sorted. Any questions? What other mean is there? We've talked about median, we've talked about mode. Is there another kind of average? Mean. How do you compute the mean? How much time does it take to compute the mean of n things? Someone want to give me, it says n, what's the linear algorithm to compute the mean of n numbers? For I goes from 1 to n, keep adding them up, right? Add up n numbers, divide by n. Isn't that the mean? So the mean can happen, be computed in linear time. But the median could be computed in linear time if you're incredibly smart, but n log n time with just sort of our street level algorithms design. And the mode takes n log n time. Okay, pretty much whatever you do. Any questions? Okay, interesting. The idea that, so all of these are, in some sense, relatively elementary things, okay? A lot of other more advanced algorithms reduce to basically being, okay? How do you, basically how do you sort? Or once you sort something, it becomes relatively easy. I'm just going to give you a fancy example that's kind of interesting. It's the problem of computing the convex hull of a set of points. So there are algorithms on geometry, geometric points that are important. Probably the most fundamental geometric problem is what we call convex hull, which is given points, try to find the smallest area convex polygon that contains all the points. What does convex mean? It means it doesn't have things like this, teeth chopped out of it, okay? Certainly, you could always make the polygon lower area by connecting it as a skeleton, and then it's got no area, right? You're allowed to take out teeth. But if you want to think of, let's say, a nice, well-shaped thing that doesn't have any bites taken out of it, I claim this polygon is the smallest polygon that contains all those points. Do people see that, at least intuitively? Or any questions about that, what we're trying to solve? Suppose I gave you as input, suppose these were points, nails stuck in the plane. So they're sticking out, the head of the nail is sticking out. And suppose I give you a rubber band, how could you compute the convex hull of those points? People see what I mean? Yeah? Well, suppose these were nails, these points were nails sticking out of the plane. Just to think about it. These are points sticking out of the plane like this. I have a bunch of these sticks. sticking out of the plane, and I want to find the smallest area polygon containing them, yeah? I stretch the rubber band over, and I say, ka-choing, and it comes down. Does everybody agree? If I stretch the rubber band over these nails, this is what they would carve out. Oops, let's go back there. Okay, does everybody agree that that's what it would carve out? Okay, any questions about that? So convex hulls turn out to be very useful things to compute geometrically. They're a very important problem. How is it that they're computed in practice? Okay, they don't use rubber bands, I'll tell you that much. Okay, how is it that they actually work in practice? The basic algorithms work like this, or something like this. Suppose you sort the points from left to right. That's what we've done here, right? By x coordinate. We're now going to insert another point and see the next point further to the right and see how it changes the hull. Everybody see that? Suppose my point was here. How would that change the existing hull? What would happen? It would add this triangle to it and delete that edge. Does everybody agree with that? Can people see what I'm doing? People don't see what I'm doing. So the argument is that the way that I can build a hull, one way I could build a hull, is to sort the points from left to right, okay? And then one by one insert the points in and build a hull of a larger set of points. Does everybody see that? What is interesting about sorting the points from left to right? Does everybody agree that the rightmost point has to be on the hull? Isn't that always true? So what's going to happen? We know the last point is going to be on the hull. We insert another point on the hull. It might cause some guys to be deleted, okay? But if so, those deletions start from this guy, the last guy that was inserted, and we can walk around and figure out how to delete it. I don't want to give you the details here. But does everybody see that once we have the points sorted by from left to right, there is an order to insertion that now has some property. Namely, the next point we insert has to be on the boundary of the hull, right? That wouldn't be true otherwise. Suppose I insert ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. All those other points are inside the hull, right? So the order I do the insertion makes a difference. And sorting is a way to do it. Any questions about that? Okay. Maybe too complicated, but it should respect you that sorting is a good thing to do. Okay, and an important thing to do. Any questions? So it's an important enough thing to do that you should learn how to do it. In the book I talk about some of the pragmatics issues of sorting. What sort function does your library likely have? The library associated with your programming language. How can you use it and stuff like that? These things are not that complicated, but I encourage you to read them in the book. Okay, just to get an idea here. Any questions? Any questions about why sorting is a good thing? Okay, and why we should do it? Okay, any questions? Trust me, if you can learn how to sort and recognize when you need to sort, there will be a time in your life where you will be a hero. Okay, I can tell you that much. Any questions? Somebody's going to be saying, oh, the database is so slow. We have to buy a faster computer, but it will cost too much money. And you'll be sitting there, what if you sort it? What if you sort the data first before inserting it into the database? And suddenly it's going to take a second, okay, instead of, an hour, okay? Any questions? Okay. So now I'd like to talk for the rest of class about a sorting algorithm, okay? In particular, it's a sorting algorithm called selection sort, which you probably have seen. Has everybody here seen selection sort before? Selection sort is one of those dumb n squared sorting algorithms, right? What does selection sort say? given n items in an array. Okay, 5, 100, 6, 3, 7, 2. Scan through the array and find the smallest one. Swap the smallest one with the first element. Right? Now this is 3, and this is 5. Except actually, I guess I should have swapped it with 2, right? Everybody agree 2 is smaller than 3, right? Find the smallest integer, swap that with the beginning. Now this part of the array is sorted. Does everybody agree? Make a pass through here and find the next largest element to be sorted. Okay, any questions? How much time does that algorithm take? Does everybody see that's what the algorithm is? For I goes from 1 to n. Find the smallest of the first n minus I elements. Then swap it, pull it out of the array, and put it first in sorted order. How much time does it take to find the smallest of n elements in an array? N. How much time does it take to swap the first element in the array with the kth element? Constant. Does everybody agree with that? So selection sort is order n times n plus 1. Okay, T sub A is order N, T sub B is order 1. Selection sort takes N squared times. Does everybody agree with that? Anybody disagree with that or have any question about that? Any questions? Any questions? Well, that may look like a not very interesting algorithm. But the reason for that is because you used the wrong data structure. Okay? If you think about it, there were two data structure problems. We were repeatedly finding the minimum element in an array. Does everybody agree with that? We had a collection of items. What were we doing? Repeatedly saying, find me the minimum element. Find me the minimum and then delete it. Find me the minimum element and what's left. Does everybody agree with that? The claim would be, if we could find the minimum element in order log n times and delete the minimum element in log n times, then the claim is selection sort would run in n log n times. Does everybody see why that is? Let's go back to what selection sort looked like. Oops. If we could do this thing in log n time, and if we could do this thing in log n time, this algorithm would take order n log n time. Does everybody agree with that? Can anyone think of a data structure we have where you could find the minimum element in there in log n time? Do we have any such data structure we've talked about? Balanced binary tree. Does everybody agree with that? Go down the left pointer, ka-chunk, 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 you find the minimum element, right? Delete that minimum element. How much time will that take? Log n time, right? Now find the minimum element again. Start from the beginning, ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. Does everybody agree with that? So the claim is if we don't use selection sort with a balanced binary tree, it will run in n log n time. Does everybody agree with that? So that's good. N log n time is what we're looking for. It's only the algorithm looks better. The interesting thing is that we can actually do this with a lighter weight data structure, okay, than a balanced binary tree, meaning one that is faster to build and easier to program. Something called a heap, okay? And a heap is a really beautiful data structure. I'm going to spend a little time today trying to describe what it is, okay, and why it works. And I think we'll hopefully come away with at least an intuitive explanation of why it works so well, okay? But a heap will have the property that it will do these operations that we want, finding the minimum and deleting the minimum in log n time without all the baggage of binary trees, okay? Any questions? Or balanced binary trees. Any questions? So what is a heap? A heap is a binary tree, but don't get scared. It's a special kind of binary tree. where all the leaves are on at most two adjacent levels, meaning it is a hyper-balanced binary tree. That's one way to think about it. It is, not only are all the leaves on adjacent levels, but they're shoved over to the left as far as they can. So it's a very neat hyper-balanced tree. And the other thing is that there's a labeling of the nodes, but that labeling is not the same order as on binary search trees. The labeling says that the key in the root is less than all of its children. And the left and right subtrees are, again, binary heaps. Okay? So two conditions specify the shape of our tree. One contains the labeling of it. Let me show you an example. Here is a balance. Here is a heap of years. Okay? Look how beautifully balanced this heap is. All the leaves are sitting comfortably on either the lowest level or the one right above it, right? All the levels, the last level above it is complete, and the leaves are all shoved over to the left as much as possible. Everybody see that? Very, very neat. Plus, we note that for every one of the nodes here, each node is less than all of its descendants. Okay? 1492 is less than any other year in here. 1783 is less than any of the years below it. Does everybody agree with that? For every node in this tree, okay, it has the heap ordering process. That each element is big, is less than all of its descendants. Okay? Any questions? Where is the minimum element in the heap? It is the root. Does everybody agree with that? The root is the minimum element here. Okay? Any questions about that? Okay? So let me talk about what's interesting about heaps. Okay, any questions about what the heap order is or the structure here? So there's several things about heaps that are interesting. One of the things that is very interesting is, although it is a binary tree, okay, we can represent it without pointers, okay, in an array without pointers. What was bad about pointers? Does anyone remember what was bad about pointers? Well, they take up space, they have no locality, you get them wrong when you try to code them up, right? Everybody always gets them wrong, okay? What's interesting is, okay, we can actually implement this data structure without actually using pointers. If we're very, very clever, what are we going to do? We're going to store it in an array so that the children, the reason I need pointers normally, I need to know where my children are. So what I'm going to do is put my children in a place where I know they are. What is my idea? If I am node I, okay, I am going to put my children in spots 2i and 2i plus 1 in the array. Suppose I do that. Let's look at this. Who are the children of 1492? These guys and these guys, right? Does everybody see that neatly in 2 and 3? Right? Who are the children of 1783? Well, that's spot 2, right? So 2 times 2 should give me spots 4, and add 1 to that, 5. There are those children. Does everybody agree with that? 2 times position 3. Its children should be in spot 6. And 7. Does everybody see that? This is actually very slick, this ordering here, right? If I stick all my nodes in an array, I set the convention that the two children of node I are in spots I and I plus 1. I claim I can find my children in Constantine, and I can find my parent. Who's the parent of node 7? Who should be the parent of node 7? 3, how would I get that? Well, in order to get to me, somebody had to be doubled, right? It's an odd number, so it had to be 3. Who's my brother? Who's node 7's brother? Node 6, right? Everybody agree with that? So this is a really slick scheme here. I can find my parents, I can find my children in constant time without any pointers. Okay, do people see how this works? How many people see how this works? How many people think this is slick? Slick, okay. Any questions about it? Why couldn't we do this before? Why can't we represent any binary tree like this? Can I represent any binary tree using this array thing without pointers? Well, a binary search tree does not have a different property. Okay, it has to do with what values. Note that the pointers are a property of the indices, not the keys that I put in there. Does everybody see that? The question of who my children are is a function of my position. Not a value of what nodes I wanted. If you wanted, you could, I guess, relabel these as binary search tree nodes, right? Put the labels in binary search order. That would work perfectly fine. You see that? So what are the limitations of this scheme? Why isn't this a good scheme? Why doesn't this put pointers out of business? Yeah, yeah. You say arrays can't grow, and so if I want to have a billion elements, you know, I have to allocate the first billion at the time. Maybe, so he says some flexibility thing. But that's not the reason. I'd be happy if you're telling me that I know I'm only going to have a million elements in the class. I might allocate this to get rid of pointers if that was my only problem. Yeah? So the question is, I have to have all my leaves on the left side or on the second last level. Why do I have to have that? If I don't have it neatly shoved over here, I can represent, interestingly, any binary tree like this. Right? Here's a binary tree. Right? This is element 1. 2 is missing. 3 is there. 4 and 5 are missing, 6 is there, 7 is missing, 8 is missing, 9 is missing, 10 is missing, 11 is missing, 12 is there, 13 is there. Does everybody agree with that? Could I use this data structure to represent that? Certainly I could, in principle. I could have a nil value, let's say, stored up here to say, oh, there's no node here, right? What's the problem with that? They wasted space. Does everybody see that? How much space will this structure take for a tree of height h? Does everybody see that if a tree has height h, how much memory will it take? 2 to the h, because the number of nodes doubles with each extra level, right? So I could use this to represent it, but for a tree of height h, which might only have h nodes, I am using an exponential number of space. Does everybody agree with that? A lot of holes mean it's going to be a very wasteful, right? But if I pack everybody in like this, there's no waste. Does everybody agree with that? Everybody fits together very nicely. Any questions? Okay. So we're going to represent our heap as we have it here by a sort of implicit tree with the values constructed like that. Any questions? That's clever. Now, that's basically issuing here. How would I construct a heap? Or let's give it a different way. Suppose, let's say, maybe we'll even go backwards. Maybe that's even a better way to think of it. am given this heap, and I want to add another year to the heap. How could I do that? I have another spot in my array sitting here. Suppose I want to add another year. Let's say 1066. I guess the Normans did something. What they did, I don't know. But they did something. Okay? How would we add that to the heap? Can anybody think of how could we incorporate that into the data structure and reconstruct its heapness? What are you going to do? You want to say stick it over in here, right? Is that what you're saying? If I stick it in here, this looks good in that I don't have a hole in my array. Is this a heap? No. Why not? Because there is somebody who has a descendant who is less than them, right? So how can I reheap this thing? Restore the heapness to it. Any ideas what we could do now? Now you've got this thing, it's not a heap. How might we make it a heap? Say, move up. So what should I do with this year? Say, am I less than my parent? If so, swap me with my parent and put my parent down here, right? Now, who would be affected by this move? This guy, right? Does everybody agree? Is this guy going to be, if he was happy before, is he still going to be happy? Why is it? His parent just got younger, right? One way to think about it, right? He has to be bigger than his parent. And his parent just got smaller. If his parent was smaller than his parent before, he's going to still be smaller. If he's bigger than his parent before, he's still going to be bigger than his parent. Does everybody agree with that? Are we now a heap yet? So what do we have to do? I'm still less than my parents. Swap it up here. Am I still less than my parent? Swap it up there. I've hit the top of my heap. Does everybody agree with that? How much time does it take to insert somebody new into the heap? Well, it should be, I hear H, I hear log H, I hear log N. Let's think about it. Two of those answers are right. Which ones? It's clear it's got to be time proportional to the height of the heap. Why is that? Because in each step, what am I doing? In constant time, I'm looking at my parent. Am I bigger than you? If not, swap, right? In constant time, I push the trouble back one generation, right? How many generations can I push it back? H, the height of the heap, right? Now, what is the height of the heap? What is the height of a heap with n elements in it? Why is it log n? Because I've got n elements. How many elements can I fit in a heap? They're all shoved in white. If the heap is of height 2, I can fit 3. Next level, I can fit 7. Next level, I can fit 15. The number of elements is doubling every time. We add one extra level, right? To have room for n elements. Remember, they're going to take the first n slots. I need a height of log n is going to necessary and sufficient. Any questions? So I claim I can insert into my heap in logarithmic time. Does everybody believe that? It's not so complicated. This is the algorithm that just did what I said I was going to do. Okay? Not very much code, is it? Actually, okay, it says insert. It does the bubble up procedure. I guess I need to show you the bubble up procedure. Boom, there's bubble up. Not too complicated, right? How do I delete? The other thing that it looked like I had to do was to delete the biggest element in the heap. Does everybody agree with that? This minimum element in the heap. I'm sorry. How would I delete the biggest element in this heap? Okay. What could I do? Can I just say you're not in the heap anymore? Okay, the trouble is then it leaves a hole in my heap, right? What could I do? You're saying take the last element from the last row, 1941, and put it up there. Does everybody agree with that? Now the heap is of the right shape again. Does everybody agree with that? What does my heap not have now? It no longer has the heap knit property, order property, right? The element below it is potentially bigger, right? How can I restore the heapness of this now? Make it a heap again. What do I do? Someone with a hand. Okay. No one with a hand. Okay. If you have mouth, no hand. Any questions? Okay. How can we restore the heapness to this? To make sure that the smallest one is, well, where is the smallest element? Yeah? So who, I have to put the smallest element left in there. Who is the smallest element? I claim it's got to be the old king's head, roots, children. Does everybody agree with that? It is either me or this one, right? What if the cheapest, the lowest of the three was this one? I'm done, right? I have my heap, right? But if the lowest one is over here, what can I do to restore the heapness of it? The claim is if I take the smaller of the two children and this thing, if this is less than the smaller children, I swap, okay, and put this thing down. Is this element going to be happy after its brother gets promoted to the root? Why is it going to be happy? By definition, it had to be less because the smaller one was the one that got promoted, right? If it is happy, everything below it is happy, right? Does everybody agree with that? So there's no discomfort on this side of the heap anymore, right? Is this thing now settled? If this is now 1941? Actually, 1941 is smaller than 1945 and 1961, three, right? So heap is now restored. Does everybody agree with that? This is now a heap. Let them in. How much time did this take? I'm hearing a bunch of, I'm hearing different things. I claim that what am I doing? Is it order H? Yes, because I'm doing a constant amount of things. Who's bigger, me, my children? Me or my two children? That's three people involved. Comparing the three of them takes constant time. The winner goes up. One guy gets swapped down, and now I've moved down the tree, right? How many times can I move down the tree? H, right? And what is the height of this tree? Log N, right? So my claim is that with the heap, the wonderful thing with the heap is that heaps are have the property that I can do extracting the minimum and finding the minimum and deleting the minimum. I can do them both in log n time. So using this heap data structure to do selection sort, I claim, what do I claim? I claim that what I have just done, again, all this is, you know, noise, and I don't want to go into too much detail here. The interesting thing that I claim is that the algorithm heap sort is basically of the form given n elements. Build a heap. How much time will it take to build a heap on n elements? How could I build a heap on n elements with what we have talked about in here? Well, how would I do it in n log n? For I goes from 1 to n, insert the ith element in my array into the heap, right? Does everybody agree with that? If I start with an empty heap, and I say, for my n elements that you want me to sort, 1, 2, one by one, insert them in the heap, pop them in the heap, pop, pop, pop. I would do N insertions, each of which took log N. Everybody agree with that? So after I've spent N log N time, I claim I have a heap, right? Now what am I going to do for each of these N guys? What am I going to do? Well, my claim is now I'm going to take the top element of my heap, which has to be in the first spot, swap that into my array, a sorted array. That's basically what I'm doing here, right? Then what am I going to do? I'm going to take out, okay, the element that was last in my heap, put it in the root, and percolate it down. That's really what I'm saying here. To do the swap took one step. The heapify, or bubble down, took log n steps. Does everybody agree with that? I claim that this is now n times log n to do the data structure operation. The total time is order n log n to sort with this data structure. Any questions about that? Any questions about what heap sort is and why it is an interesting data structure? It gives us this log n time access, okay? And it is very easy to program and nice, okay? Any questions? So heap sort is clearly n log n time and gives us a beautiful data structure called a heap to use, okay? Any questions? And that is indeed a beautiful data structure to use, okay? A heap is a special case of a type of a data structure called a priority queue, okay? And this is important enough, I'm going to talk about it at the beginning of next class because I don't want it to get mistaken. But a priority queue is a data structure that repeatedly lets you find out what's the minimum element, lets you insert new elements, and lets you delete the minimum element from it. Thinking in terms of priority queues as a basic data type, the way dictionaries are basic data types, ends up simplifying a lot of algorithm design and is very important. It's important enough, I don't want to rush it, and we'll talk about it next class. Any questions about heap sort or anything like that? Okay, thanks for your attention. Remember, the second homework is now on the web. I will try to remember to bring in copies of it. But it's on the web. It's on sorting, which is what the midterm is about. So do take care of that. Any questions?